after the raid in 77, I started really getting physically ill, you know, ending up in hospitals and stuff. And because I was hating what I was doing, and I wanted to get out of it in the worst way, but I didn't know how, you know. In 1979, 2 years after the raid happened, they asked me to be the security officer at the USGO. And I hated LA. I loved San Francisco. I never wanted to leave. They'd always been asking me to go work at USGO. I always said no because I don't want to live in LA. Well, I wanted to get out of doing black ops and breaking the law, you know, all the time like that, sufficiently bad that I took the job, you know, because I didn't have to do the spying. I didn't have to do the black ops anymore. I didn't have to break the law anymore. All I had to do was work inside an organization, right, and look for spies. And that's all I had to do. And I said, well, this is, you know, this is wonderful. And I gladly took the job, you know. You should know about this in case anybody, you know, because I've told some people, in case it ever comes up in a court case or anything like that, you know, then you have it from me. I'd be really the only one who knows about this. Well, there's a couple of people, but basically, while I was being security officer at USGO, there was a fellow who had been sent in by the Air Force. He was a captain in the Air Force, and he was working for what's Air Force Intelligence called? Yeah, I forget the initials for it. He was on lines at ASHO. He had made an application for the Guardian's office, and he was also making an application to get on lines at AO and do his clearing course in upper levels. I'm being the security officer at USGO. This guy shows up. His name was Bruce. I don't remember his last name, but he was a captain in the Air Force. He applied to get into the GO, so of course I would be somebody that had to look at him. I took a look at him and I went, you know. I didn't know he was captain of the Air Force at the time, but just looking at this guy, I went, you know. I got a spy in on him. He made friends with this guy named Bruce. They were powwowing around at night together and stuff like that. My spy was, of course, you know, his cover was to pretend like he was somewhat disaffected, you know, and therefore could be trusted. Once that was accomplished, then I pretended like I was the person, although I wasn't, right? He wanted to get on AO lines. I found out from my spy that this guy was stealing materials from ASHO at night and mailing them back to an Air Force base in Georgia. He wanted to get on AO lines. He was applying to get on AO lines. And therefore, I told him, now he didn't know who I was, right? He didn't know where I worked or anything. I told him that I was the person who worked at AO who approved people to get on AO lines. So he thought I was the guy that he had to appeal to get approval. So I said, well, before we give anybody approval, you know, we ask them questions on a meter first. And I had a sec checker who was also a GO person. Her name was Connie, maybe Rhodes or something like that. Yeah. Frank and Connie Rhodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. She, you know, I liked her.
She was tough.
Yeah. She was also funny. But anyway, she did the meter stuff, right, on these guys. I would sit in the room beside of her, and I could also ask questions if I wanted to. Although this isn't gangbang sec check type stuff, you know, I didn't keep people up past all hours, you know, I didn't beat them up or anything. Basically, our technique for catching people was investigation tech, not the meter. The meter was there to fool him, not that we were relying on it in any way. We didn't care what the meter did. Okay, it was just a delusion, a tactic for him, thinking that he believed in the meter, we did not. Okay, so that's why he was on a meter. So anyway, I would go down and ask him questions every night for about a week, you know, things that I wanted to know, you know, did he work for any government agency, blah, 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 stuff like this, right? We led him to, he lied through his teeth, right, to us, and on every question I asked him. We led him to believe that we believed his answers, right? And Connie let him know that, you know, the meter was agreeing with what he was saying. Mm-hmm. So he felt safe every night that he left our questioning session, and he went back and he would talk to my spy. And he would brag on all the lies he told and got away with. Those dumb, you know what I told him tonight? Yeah, that ain't the truth. And that's how I got the whole story, see. So at the end of the, you know, 4 or 5 days of doing this, we sit down to have a meeting with the guy, right? He's not on the meter anymore. We had led him to believe all the way along that he was passing this thing, and he came in just happy as a clam, like a celebration, right? Like we were just going to write him and say, you're on the OT levels, right? That's what he thought was going to happen. He sits down that night, and I say, well, Bruce, we got a problem here. And so I start to tell him what my spy's been telling me. And he kind of turns white, you know. And I said, now what about you being in the Air Force? So then he starts to, in the hopes of getting us to approve him, he starts talking to me. Right, and he starts telling me, and he knows about what's going on at SRI. There's no way for him to know what's going on at SRI, you know, unless he was in intelligence, you know, because nobody in Scientology told him. That's my point. The government had to tell him about it. So he lays it all out. And I say, well, who's your case officer, and where are they, and what is your mission, and stuff like that. And he's over there sweating it, and he's trying to get out of this. And, you know, in the course of conversing, he tells me, you know, he's trying to give me presents. He tells me about the SRI stuff. He goes, you know, you guys are considered to be a national security risk because of those experiments up there at SRI. We don't want people running around here who can exteriorize. You could spy on us, you know. Also, those tests that you did with the magnetic fields, right? A guy could influence them with his thought. He said that we were interested in that because, actually, you know what happened is I told him I wasn't going to let him on when he spilled all these beans because the jig was up, you know. And he goes, you know, what we thought we could do, and that's when he told me we got 100 guys back in Georgia waiting to do this stuff as soon as I send it to them, right? What we thought we could do is if they fired their missiles at us, right, because the magnetic field is the guidance system on a missile, if we could have our own OTs, turn them around and send them back down the hole they came out of. See? Yeah. That's what they were looking at. So that's where that whole story comes from, is from that guy.